The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here to talk about a double tribal council here tonight. And here with me, the fish in my chicken and beef stew. Here is Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
That definitely wouldn't improve the stew. That would not, that would not merit the odes that Xander gave the stew.
He loved the stew.
He loved the stew
so much. Stephen Fishback, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm a little salty at that episode. You know, two of my favorites voted out. Very sad to see both Evie and Nasir go.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like at the start that we were going to see a big shift in the power dynamics. You know, right out of the gate, we have Erica and Xander talking about maybe flipping things on the Majority Alliance. We get a scene of the Majority Alliance talking. Oh, my God, look at this hubris. They're doing it right in front of Xander and Erica. Holy cow. What a great story of hubris.
Yeah.
Overturned. In fact, that's not what happened. The Majority Alliance got its way in both tribal councils tonight, and kind of a bummer, but a fun episode of Survivor.
Well, looking forward to breaking it down with you. Do you feel like that the momentum was stymied by splitting into groups of five?
Well, what's interesting is that, at least in one of those groups, it looked like they might have the opportunity to overturn the numbers there with you've been very bullish on Ricard as the key player in overturning things. And in fact, he is a real enforcer of the, the current hierarchy.
I thought Ricard had an amazing night tonight.
Yeah, great night for Ricard for sure. Great night for Ricard. That's not what I was saying, but he's also just obviously like on the side of order rather than disorder. It did remind me a little bit of that episode that we've talked about in the past in Ghost Island, where the tribe was split into two, and in both segments, the Navidi contingent had the majority, and these splits, which probably they're hoping are going to cause a little bit of chaos, are going to sort of overturn some dynamics, ended up in both here and in both Island and Ghost Island, kind of reinforcing those dynamics.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to break it all down. The final 10 old five and five split. We'll talk about it here tonight. Two tribal councils and two exit interviews coming up in the morning. I will speak with Nasir and Evie. So you won't want to miss those interviews. Should be great to catch up with both of them and see what they have to say. And then, Stephen, tomorrow I will have the pleasure of speaking to your friend and mine, Sophie G. Clark.
Oh, wow. What are you guys going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Survivor.
Oh, that's a great subject.
And your
that's
wedding.
A good idea.
Yeah. And why that? I polled the patrons of Rob's podcast, and I said, "Who do you want to talk to this season?" The number one person they asked me for, they said, "Get Sophie on the podcast."
Really, I'm really happy to hear that. You know, for a while, I felt like there was a little bit of resistance to Sophie as a podcast guest.
No, so people always loved Sophie as a podcast.
A lot of crap when I would bring her on for the final know-it-alls of the season, and I'm really glad to hear that.
Well, it was because I wasn't there, but
I think people were happy to see you gone, but they weren't sure that Sophie.
I always put people. I love Sophie on the podcast.
Oh, that's great. I'm really happy to hear that.
And so we will talk with Sophie Clark and see what's going on here as 10 years after South Pacific.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No, it's so depressing. God, our lives are just whizzing by us.
Yes. All right. So I'll talk with Sophie Clark as well. And then we'll have on the feedback show another great friend of ours, Hannah Shapiro. Is going to join us on the feedback show. So
this is why it's stacked
week. Asia Welch is going to join me on the patron Q&A on Monday night, and maybe we'll get a bonus podcast.
Split the podcast.
That'd be so interesting. So what would happen? Yeah. So then you would take over half of it.
I don't want to do that.
Sounds better in theory. All right. So we've got two big tribal councils to talk about from tonight, and an episode where I felt like that they played with our expectations. I felt like leading up into both of those votes. Although I feel like that you're rarely fooled by the edit. Did you feel at all like that there was a little bit of a you thought it was going one way?
I thought that there was a chance. I mean, maybe this was naive, you know, that I really did think that there was a chance that Liana was going home.
I thought Liana was for sure going home. I was actually like quite shocked when Evie was, in fact, the person who went home. I felt like they really sold Liana going home hard. And then I was surprised that it was ended up being Nasir there in the first tribal council. And actually, if we could start there, I thought that the show did not do a great job of explaining what went on there with that first vote.
Well, what do you mean? Oh, with a split? So where it looked like Erica and Heather voted for Nasir, Shan and Ricard voted for Heather.
So,
and then Shan's extra vote, and Nasir obviously voted for Heather, and then Shan's extra vote went for. I mean, it looked so defensive as a play. Like, obviously, they're concerned that Nasir is going to play his idol.
Yes.
Which would mean that, like, if Heather and Erica went rogue and voted for either Ricard or Shan, that they would, you know, that they would there then be at risk. So they wanted to like stack votes on. Heather and Ricard together. Shan and Ricard together wanted to make sure that between them, there was at least one vote on the other two players the other two targets in case, you know, Heather and Erica decided to mix things up or, you know, Nasir decided to mix things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that most specifically, I think if Nasir played his idol. But to me, as I was watching the episode, when Ricard is saying to Shan, like, well, you need to play the extra vote. And in my mind, I was like, well, why do they need to do that? And ultimately, we find out it's because they're concerned about Nasir playing his idol and the vote split. But I felt like that they didn't I was a little confused as to like, well, what do they need the extra vote for here? And then, you know, we see ultimately by the way it plays out that it's like just to be like a complete like be like locked down and safe. But I wonder, was that for Shan the best use of the extra vote? Like, I feel like that for Ricard, I think it was a fine night where he's able to burn one of Shan's advantages and get what he wants here over Shan. But I thought that for overall, I think this was not a great night for Shan.
Yeah, this was not a great night for Shan. Shan's had a series of bad nights. I'm still bullish on Shan, though. But I mean, yes, not a great night for Shan. You know, one aspect of it that I think we didn't talk about, you know, is that the vote for Nasir, you know, does the bidding of her ally Deshaun.
Yes.
and Danny.
Yes.
From last episode, where Deshaun really didn't want to vote out Heather, he really wanted to vote out Nasir, and now Shan is following through with that. And I wonder if that was part of her motivation here. I mean, it certainly didn't, you know, it might have been too complicated to bring that into it in this episode. There was a lot going on. Obviously, there's two tribal councils. Mm-hmm. Both tribal councils had a lot of moving parts. You know, both certainly had a lot of advantages at play. I don't know. I think when you're in that position of having that extra vote, you know, there's three factions, you know, there's five people, you're parsing it, you know, there's a potential idol, potential two idols. You are parsing that every which way, right? Like you're like, well, if those two vote this way and that one votes that way and he plays his idol and those two vote there, I think you can get a little bit too cute with it. And I mean, I've been in that situation myself for sure. You know, you just like, it's hard to keep track of all the different permutations. And I think that can lead to just a little bit of conservatism. Like, we're going to play, we have the vote. Let's play the vote. Let's not screw it up. Let's get through this. And like, then we can go back to our big group tomorrow.
Well, I feel like for Shan that we know going into this vote, she said, I want my number one target is Erica. I want to get rid of Erica. I don't trust Erica. I don't trust Heather. I trust Nasir. I want to keep Nasir. She ends up in this vote using her extra vote to get out Nasir and keep Erica and Heather in the game. And she also does it at a point where I'm not sure necessarily if it buys the goodwill with Deshaun when she didn't get to vote with Deshaun to do the thing. So right. I almost feel like that it plays into Deshaun's hand if there really is a split. And I feel like that on all the fronts, I feel like that Shan lost out in making this decision.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I think it's the right call, right? Like, I mean, obviously I'm really sad to see this year go, but, you know, wasting a vote on Heather, who nobody thinks is, you know, has got real, you know, end game potential or, you know, to win, right? Versus, you know, taking on Nasir, who is a beast in challenges, who's, you know, seems to be accumulating, you know, various advantages right and left, seems to have a lot of goodwill. And, you know, does have the potential to slip through the cracks far enough where he can, you know, I mean, he's also a challenge beast, right? He really did almost win that, immunity.
Yeah. His arm, he couldn't feel his arm.
Yeah. You know, so to me that made a lot of sense. You know, the fact that, Shane was so fixated on this Erica Heather duo. I mean, what do you think? Let's talk about the merits of the vote.
Okay.
If you're Shane.
Cause I disagree. I think that Shane made a bad decision to vote out Nasir, who Nasir had said that, but you know, the people I trust the most are Shane and Ricard, and he didn't really have anywhere to go. Danny and Deshaun didn't really want to keep him around. Instead, that you have Erica and Heather, who seem like they're more Danny and Deshaun, or specifically Deshaun loyalists. So I felt like that for Shan, she got rid of somebody who was very willing to work with her, who had an advantage, who kind of was a target out in front of her, instead to really like give more power to Ricard here, where Ricard, I think, has the better relationship now with Erica and Heather, who already have a better relationship with Deshaun. I think that Shan has like boxed herself in a little bit here. I don't think it's insurmountable, but I just feel like that overall, I feel like that Ricard's stock went up a lot tonight. I feel like that Shan's stock, I think, ended up going down, and I don't love where Shan is coming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty compelling argument, and on its surface, I mean, when I was first thinking about it, I was like, well, you've got this duo with Erica and Heather, always good to split up duos. You know, Nasir says he's super loyal to these people. You know, you're voting out someone who we know is loyal to you over someone who you don't seem to have that good a relationship with. But you know, I think the complicating, you know, I think normally, you know, vote three of the jury phase, I'd be like, yeah, of course, you know, you want to keep the people in who, you know, you're tight with. But this is day 17 out of day 26. You know, there's 9 days mm-hmm. left in the game. And I don't think that's irrelevant to how the players are playing right now. You know, I think the fact that the end is in sight is making them, you know, you've got to start eliminating the people who actually could win the game. Mm-hmm. And I think like, so I don't know, it's a tough call. I totally see your point. Like, why vote out this person who says he's tight with you? He's certainly a target. You know, he's taking up a lot of your own allies' attention. You know, he's not, you know, we know that Deshaun is tight with Heather. We think Ricard is tighter with Heather and Erica. You know, Shan doesn't have those connections. You know, I just think there's always that danger that someone like Nasir does end up slipping in, going far enough where, you know, he plays the idol at the right moment. He wins the challenge at the right moment. You know, he gets another idol, and then he's in the final four. He makes fire. Mm-hmm. Like, we know he's got fire, you know, probably the best fire maker out there.
Sure. That is true.
Then suddenly he's winning the game.
You're getting closer to the fire making. That is a valid point. I just feel like that also to spend the extra vote on this where Nasir was an ally, because I feel like that if you have a 5-person tribal council here and it's like, okay, well, we're going to ultimately do our 3 votes on Heather, and then there'll be 2 votes on Nasir, or 3 votes on Nasir and 2 votes on Heather. Worst comes to worst, and Nasir plays his idol, Heather's still going home. So you don't really, it's not like that Heather and Erica were voting Shan. At least we don't think that was a possibility. That never came up in the episode. So even if Nasir did play his idol here, you know, your insurance that you spent the extra vote on is only going to be that, you know, that you insured Nasir went home instead of that Heather ultimately goes home. And Nasir would still be in the game without an idol. So, in a worst case scenario where Nasir plays his idol, like, oops, we got blown up here. Then at least Nasir is still in the game, but has no idol, and Heather is still gone, and you didn't have to spend an extra vote.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying. I mean, I think the danger for them was that, it was just that play. They just don't know, right? They want to make sure there's that Nasir's one vote is not going to lead to, you know, someone of that. Like, if Heather and Erica are definitely voting for Nasir, and, you know, then Nasir votes, you know, if they stack votes on Nasir too, like, the, you know, it's just obviously they're worried about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's dig into the other tribal council, because that I was really surprised. One, that they made it seem like that maybe Deshaun might have been going to vote out Liana on his own. But I feel like the bigger surprise was that Xander didn't play the idol on Evie. And I really was surprised that Danny and Deshaun and Liana let Xander make it through another tribal council without playing his idol.
But what could they do? I mean, they couldn't split votes on Evie and Xander.
I guess so. I guess you're right about that.
Xander had immunity.
But I guess that for Deshaun, who like I really think is like right up there for me with Ricard in terms of people that I think are playing like incredibly well in the game. I wonder, did Deshaun's flirtation with Evie and Xander cause Xander to not play the idol? Or I wonder if that there might have been like a sidebar where, you know, they basically like clued Xander in on what was going to go on. And we saw that Xander didn't play the idol for Evie 2 votes ago. And that maybe that Xander could have been talked out of playing the idol in that spot.
I mean, he looked genuinely surprised. The read I had was that Xander was legitimately surprised there. Do you think it would have been right for him to play the idol for Evie in this spot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that we saw that Xander like seemed to clearly like get the read when we saw, and I forget who it was that said, okay, let's let the four of us go talk. And Xander was like, can you believe the audacity of us on the bottom? So it seemed like that he was very clear on what his position was in the pecking order, and then felt like that, okay, well, I could take out Liana here, who he knows is gunning for him by playing his idol, to take out somebody that was going to be from the group that was on the top. Like, I think it might have been a worthwhile gamble.
I don't know. I disagree. I think that,
and I'm not saying a fool. Why not do that? But I'm surprised that he didn't.
I think in this case, if you're Xander, you just need to guarantee yourself another week, or in this case, I guess another day to get further and further and deeper into the game. You hope you win some immunities. You hope maybe there's another idol. What you're really hoping for is that big alliance falls apart, right? You're hoping that you are immune enough. You know, if Xander plays his idol on Evie today, then Evie is safe for next week. He doesn't have an idol anymore. Mm-hmm. So he's probably going home the next episode, right? Like he's been a big target throughout. He knows that, right? He knows Liana's been gunning for him. And he, you know, it won't change the dynamics enough, you know, like this group on the bottom is sort of like had these, a few, you know, tenuous conversations, but pretty consistently everyone is voting with that majority group. Right. I mean, Ricard is voting with that majority group, Heather and Erica, you know, Erica had that conversation with him and certainly Heather, is voting with that majority group. So, you know, the one resistor, you know, has been Evie, you know, with Xander sort of. So why keep Evie around and remove your own, your own protection when you're, you know, if Xander, you know, his thinking has to be, I just need to stay safe. I need to stay in this game as long as I mm-hmm. possibly can, find that crack, wait till something blows up in that group, and then like make my pivot. But if I'm, you know, if I play, you know, shoot my wad now, then I have no wad left for the next episode.
You always want to have the wad left. That's true.
You need to have wad.
That is true. Yeah. But with the numbers being what they are, where now it's 8. Okay, and if you've identified where, you know, that there is, that there's a 4, that a 4 that says in front of you, hey, let's go have our meeting. And we saw Xander recognize in this episode, like, hey, well, that's the group that has all the power, that 4. Now you're going into 8 now with that, you know, majority there. And also seemingly like if Ricard is with them, you are clearly like at the bottom of that. Yes, things change all the time in Survivor, even in the old era of Survivor, things could change pretty quick. I just wonder if there's a play there to, you know, keep Evie. Now you have him. You have Erica and Heather, who are also at the bottom. You know, that's at least a solid or at least a 4. But I definitely understand the impulse to, you know, self-preservation as long as possible.
I mean, if Erica and Heather were like actively voting against that majority group, like then maybe. But like here, you know, here again, we see them like voting with Shan and Ricard, mm-hmm. you know, to eliminate Nasir, another person who's theoretically on the outside of that group. I mean, the sad thing was it did feel like there was maybe going to be some momentum around getting that group together. But because of the way things shook out, where you had, you know, two people, right? So one of the groups was two people outside the alliance, right, with Evie and Xander. And then the other group was three different factions. You know, you have Nasir thinking he's in the alliance, but not really being in the alliance. And Heather and Erica, you know, who are maybe more outsiders, but like don't like Nasir. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, you kind of wonder if they had all stayed together, you know, would they have come together? Like, was there some momentum for Evie and Xander and Erica and Heather, you know, and maybe to pull in Ricard or Nasir and vote against, you know, this, mm-hmm. this alliance that's controlling things. We'll never know.
Could Deshaun have gotten Xander to use the idol on Evie, where that it's looked like they bluffed him and they made him think that the Deshaun was going to vote for Liana, and ultimately Xander felt good enough about that, presumably, that he didn't end up using his idol. Would it have been better for Deshaun to let Xander know that he was going to vote for Evie so that Xander would potentially use his idol? Liana would go, but he would weaken Shan in that regard. What do you think about that?
I just don't think Xander's going to do it. I mean, I guess your point is like, at least that gives the possibility. But if Deshaun really would prefer to keep Liana over Evie, I just don't think it's worth the risk for Deshaun. I mean, how serious do you think Deshaun? I mean, you're saying they bluffed him about Liana. How do you think that how serious was Deshaun?
If we talk to Deshaun, like if he was able to tweet his feelings, I feel like that he would say that he didn't really could strongly consider getting rid of Liana here in this spot. And they show in the episode where Xander mentions that he Liana threw your name out. And Deshaun's like, what? But I don't think he strongly considered voting out Liana.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe he just like, it's like fun to dabble, and he's obviously feeling a little bit salty about his position in that alliance. Mm-hmm. But you know, Danny is so steadfast. I think he's not going to go against that, you know, certainly not. I mean, and it would be a terrible choice to like, you know, to break, you know, his trust with Danny, you know, to make what may be a marginally better move for him, but probably is a significantly worse for him. Right. I mean, just like from Deshaun's perspective, it is probably much worse for him to break up that alliance than for him to keep it together, because right now he seems to be at the center of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously he doesn't feel that way. I mean, what's your read on the whole Deshaun Shan thing? It was funny that, you know, they have this blow up and the next day they make peace, like, oh my, you know, such a mature conversation. And like immediately they're back to blowing up again. You know, Shan is off and running about they have to vote at Erica and Deshaun doesn't want to. What's your read?
Well, that part of it feels real. Like it feels like that it's the Deshaun and Shan part of it, where it feels like that they still like can't get on the same page. And the coming attractions also, you know, it looks like we see more of that coming up next week, where it just seems like that there's so much smoke there. There has to be some fire. We'll see if they ultimately can do it. I think that sort of like this fault line here between Shan and Deshaun, I think also has sort of like strengthened Ricard's hand, where I think that he was a little bit more marginalized when Shan had this other really strong option. But I think that Shan couldn't really tell, even though Ricard, she might not have wanted to do what Ricard wanted here. I feel like that she did not really have the power to tell Ricard to, you know, get lost here in this scenario, because I think that she's sort of like feeling not so great with Deshaun.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, she's more cast back on Ricard. But it's interesting that, you know, these groups really are breaking into pairs, where you have, I mean, I guess Shan has both Liana and she has
voting blocks. Ricard.
40 plus. You know, you've got Danny and Deshaun are really strong. It looks like Erica and Heather are a thing. Xander's a free agent. Mm-hmm. Who am I forgetting? That's
I think that's, yeah. And Ricard. Ricard and Xander are the two sort of people that are, I guess, free agents. And so We'll see. Just as we're like talking this through from Deshaun's perspective, that I feel like that, you know, I'm feeling like that Xander did make the right call to not play the idol on Evie, because I think that if I am Deshaun, I think the like the worst case scenario is ultimately what ended up happening with Xander not playing an idol here, as opposed to like even if like if we ended up with Xander playing his idol and Liana got voted out, I think I would come on here and say like, okay, well, the good news is like Xander doesn't have an idol. So That's like, yeah, Liana is gone. That's a blow for Danny and Deshaun and Shan. But I feel like that, okay, well, now Xander is manageable. The Xander problem looks like that is, you know, that there's an end in sight. Whereas now Xander remains in the game. Like having one immunity this week, and now there still is like are these cracks, and he still has an idol. So I kind of feel like that's like if I'm Deshaun, I think that this is the least palatable thing that happened.
Yeah, and Evie and Xander were not super close, right? Like, I mean, maybe they had like a good alliance when they were together on their tribe, but they really had in the last couple of days been, you know, sort of turned against each other. It's still hard for me to wrap around the tight time frame, because it's just so, all this is just really happening so quickly, you know, in a way that like when I think about the show and I think about the experience of the show, and when I use that to like imagine myself into the player's perspective, I'm imagining more time. I'm imagining every one of these sort of events and emotional states to be more than like 15 minutes. You know, you're thinking like, okay, well, you know, Xander and Evie were together for a while, but then they also spent like, you know, if it was two episodes, normally is, you know, 6 days, it's like a week, you know, that they've been apart from each other. Here, like two episodes is, you know, like 2 days or a day, you know, it's like 45 minutes. Like they, you know, for a half hour here, they've been turned against each other and now they're like back as allies. I mean, it's just like so hard to like gauge like how serious any of these moves are, you know, how long standing any of these alliances are.
So if I had to guess, and I don't have the wiki open in front of me, I think it was probably only 3 or at most 4 days ago for them. When they were at that tribal council and they played the fake idol, and ultimately Sydney went home. I think it might have been 2 days after that was when Tiffany went home. And I think this probably all happened in one day. I think we had the immunity challenge, and I don't think we had an overnight with the two tribes split apart. Right. I think this was just 24 hours that we lost these two people.
So it's a real scramble, and you know, that's there's no real time in that window for like real realignments and changes of priority. You know, it's and so I, you know, to that end, I'm not surprised that, you know, the people in power stayed in power. There was no time to really kind of reassess. So if you're Deshaun and like maybe you're dabbling with what does it mean to vote out Liana, you know, in this moment, you're not going. It also like it probably was, you know, good for Liana, bad for Evie that Danny and Deshaun split to the same group, because, you know, Danny is so constant and so loyal. Mm-hmm. And he, I think, really keeps Deshaun in check in that way. Whereas, you know, maybe if someone else were there in Danny's place, Deshaun would have been a little bit more, you know, willing to take a risk and mix things up.
Yeah, they are a good pair, where I feel like that Danny is very grounded and Deshaun is very much more like ambitious and bold with wanting to make plans. So I think that's been a good pairing for the two of them. Steven, should Survivor continue to do this at the final 10, where we get the split into 5 and 5? I mean, I was actually surprised that they went back to it so soon after only doing it in season 39.
Was it? I like it. I mean,
they did it in 36, 39 here in 41.
What happened in 39? I blocked out every event.
Well, it was the same exact thing. That was when Aaron and Missy went out in that double tribal council.
Right. Yeah, I
Tommy came very close to going home. It was basically like Karishma could have gone either way. She could have voted out Tommy, and ultimately she flipped against Missy and voted with, I believe it was Tommy and Elaine, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. I remember that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting because like theoretically it should work. Theoretically it should work to mess things up for the people in power. But if like time and time again, it doesn't, at some point you have to say like, okay, like empirically this isn't working. I mean, I like it. I mean, I still like it theoretically. I'd like to see it one more time. And if it's like a flub again, like maybe we say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think on paper it's interesting because that, you know, there might be like a different opportunity for somebody to take a shot at a bigger target here in a smaller group, like what almost happened in season 39, where it was like Tommy, who was very well insulated throughout the whole game, came very, very close to getting voted out here in this spot. Now, is that a result that we should be hoping for, where a player who is like really set up well could potentially just lose the game because of like a bad rock pull? I think that is like kind of what Survivor is looking for at this particular point in time. So you do get some unexpected results. Would Nasir have gone home if we, you know, had a regular vote at 10? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, he had been like, who do you think? I mean, probably Erica. I mean, would Erica have won immunity in that situation? Well, she, you know, she did not win the stew.
Didn't win the ultimate immunity. So, I think that probably it would have been Erica or Heather. So I guess, you know, we probably got like a little bit more like exciting votes. And Evie also, you know, certainly a big target.
Evie might have gone home. Evie was the expected vote, right? I mean, I think everyone sort of saw it. She's been the target for weeks.
But
since the merge phase,
what I do like about it is if you are a person that's on the bottom, you know, basically you get through one vote and you move ahead two spots. You know, it's sort of like people who were worried about Evie coming into this week. I was talking on the patron call-in show the other night to one of the callers, Liv, who was very concerned about Evie. I said, well, the good news is, you know, if you're rooting for Evie and they get through this vote, you know, somehow it's like, now it's just like, you know, it's a 5-person tribal council. You know, there's a lot of outs there. Get through one vote, you basically move ahead two spots.
Yeah. Again, like 9 days left. You know, 9 days is not a lot of days. They're basically like, you know, they're basically at the finals.
Yeah, not a lot of days. Some other interesting things from the episode tonight. I was really surprised when Liana said to Xander, well, give me your idol tonight, so I'll feel more comfortable. Because we've seen so much of that this season.
I know.
That he's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. What's that like? There's like a side by side where like things you see on TV versus like the when you like try to reattempt them in real life. I don't know. It felt like sort of like someone who's seen like a really cool stunt being pulled off, like, you know, trying to do it herself. Yeah. That was sort of a flub. Successful.
Yeah. And we also saw Heather say to Nasir, would you play the idol on me? And he's like, no, I wouldn't. I'm not going to do that. No.
Which was great because Heather had literally, I mean, the whole Heather and Nasir thing was a very funny subplot where Heather going to Evie and saying, you know, what did I tell you at tribal council about voting out Nasir? She's like, oh yeah, you said vote out Nasir. Like, no, I didn't
yeah, that seemed like a mistake. That seemed like a mistake to then.
And then they go back and show the clip of her saying vote out Nasir. It was great.
I don't know what Heather was going for. Are you liking what we're getting from Heather these days? We get a lot of Heather now.
Yeah, a lot of Heather. This is her winner, her visibility spike for her, leading to her ultimate triumph in the season.
Mm-hmm.
She's fun. I mean, she's a fun character. You know, I'm glad she's getting some airtime. You know, it was kind of frustrating that, you know, to see one player just basically barely be in the show. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she had a lot. We lost Nasir and Evie. I don't feel like we've talked enough about them in particular. So let's start with Nasir. Steven, how sad are you to see Nasir go out?
Very sad. He was such a light. Both of them were such bright lights on the screen. Yeah. We're talking about Nasir. You know, always had a positive attitude. Was just really, he was a beast in the challenges. You know, did really well in finding, you know, various idols, and, you know, just was just really fun and great. And I don't know. I mean, like, he could have, like, if I could have, like, cranked the strategy up like a notch. Like, he didn't need to be some super gamer. He didn't seem to have, like, but he seemed to be, like, pretty consistently out of the flow of what was happening around him. Like, I would have just, like, turned the dial like 1 degree for my perfect my perfect version of Nasir.
Yeah, I just don't think that if you do that, that's not Nasir anymore. Like, you've made a new person.
I'm willing to experiment with humanity.
Yeah. So, yeah, very sad to see Nasir go. You think we see Nasir get another shot at this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nasir seems like a no-brainer. Like, how do you not bring back Nasir? He's such a huge fan favorite. Everyone I talk to loves Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
The people I see on the street, across the, you know, 10 feet distance through their masks, they love Nasir.
Should Nasir, like, do you think he should have been playing his idol tonight?
That would have been a tough one. I was thinking about that. Like, how do you, everyone is so straightforward. Yes, we're voting out Heather. You know, we don't like, I mean, like, how do you, you know, and again, like, this is the brilliance of Shan once again, you know, where everyone's so down on Shan, but like here again, you have someone who's like, oh yeah, these are my number one people, you know, he's known them for like 2 days and he's like, yep, that's my number one. Like, these are the people I'm with. How do you not, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of like the cracks in her game, but the actual, you know, the actual game is still running very smoothly.
Difference is that, like, on the original UA, like, every single person said, Shan is my number one, Shan's my number one. So it wasn't like that, you know, Shan had too many options about, like, who she should get rid of. Whoever she got rid of was going to say, Shan's my number one. Here, like, tonight, she did have a choice, and she got rid of the person who was with her and kept in the people who she's targeting and who aren't with her.
But she also get, you know, I mean, I think any alliance, you sort of have to go along with what your allies say. I mean, she's certainly, you know, hearing that loud and clear from Deshaun. And I think Shan must feel a little bit, you know, on her back foot about that, where you've got Deshaun saying, Shan, you have to listen to me. Shan, you have to listen to me. Then you have Ricard saying, Shan, you have to listen to me. Shan, you have to listen to me. If you're Shan in that situation, you're not being like, I'm going this alone. You're like, yeah, okay, I'll give in. I will give in to what you want.
You know, I'm saying that I didn't like what Shan did, but I'm also saying that I liked all of Shan's ideas of, like, her ideas were, we have to get rid of the idol that Xander has. I agree. I think that was the right way to go. We should get rid of Heather and not Nasir. I agreed with that. So I feel like that she's caving on the good ideas and going along with ideas that I think are not as good for her.
But that is being what being a good ally is, right? It's like the things that we are criticizing Shan for, that, no, not us, but like that people are criticizing Shan for, are being, you know, are about being like pushing her plans. But in fact, she's going along with her allies' plans. You know, she's like
putting forth ideas.
Right. But that's that, like, that was make her. I mean, I think you sometimes have to go along with the bad plan if your ally feels super, you know, passionate about it, or like and I think that's what makes her such a great player, right? Is that she has the good ideas, but she's willing to do the slightly worse idea in order to placate her ally, because ultimately Survivor is about keeping your allies happy and keeping those bonds strong. You know, if she voted out Heather and kept Nasir and seriously pissed off Ricard just at this moment where she is, where things are a little bit rocky with Deshaun, that would be a terrible play for Shan. You know, the marginal difference for her between Heather and Nasir in the game versus the really destructive thing of alienating Ricard.
Is it so bad? I just, to talk it through. So, all right, Ricard is like, oh, I can't even with Shan anymore. She wouldn't even vote out Nasir. She's trying to vote out Heather. I guess that, I mean, that maybe that Deshaun is like, don't even get me started, because I love Heather and I wanted to vote out Nasir. So I guess that, maybe Ricard has like an audience with Deshaun for that complaint.
Yeah, I mean, isn't your whole thing that Ricard is going to be the guy who, you know, raises the banner and unites the bottom feeders, the free folk? Well, and
some bottom feeders in the game.
What?
Ricard got to keep the people that were on the bottom in the game.
Right. But if you're Shan, that has to be your fear with Ricard, right? Is that he is going to be that person who like goes rogue and, you know, votes, you know, brings in those other people, and you've got to keep him happy.
All right. And Evie goes out. You mentioned earlier, calling Evie a bright light in the season, and Evie had a really strong run, looked like the person to beat at points this season, especially early at Yasa. Seemed like that they were running everything at that point. Things kind of went downhill after the big merge fake out, and then Evie was just like too much heat on them at this particular point at the start of the merge.
Yeah, and really throughout the whole merge, they were the primary target. And, you know, the fact that Evie made it so deep, I think, is really a testament to Evie's game, you know, where they just, you know, Bob, you know, won immunities, you know, had that whole idol fake out. It was just a lot of really good gameplay. And again, like a lot of fun, right? Like just seemed to bring so much joy to the experience.
Steven, we have questions from the listeners of Survivor Know-It-Alls here tonight, and we will kick things off with a recent guest of Rob is a Podcast, where Christian Hubicki wanted to write to say to you, Steven Fishback, as an expert in extra vote mechanics, if Xander played his extra vote to achieve a tie, would he get a revote with the extra vote since he was not a vote target? Okay, well, this is a great question. That I knew we had something from Christian. I thought it was going to be about the immunity challenge. But Steven, Xander did not play the extra vote. We did see an extra vote come up for that we saw from Shan. Now, Shan did not get to vote twice on the revote, presumably, correct?
Well, so we saw today on Twitter that Evie got their degree from Harvard.
Yes.
It was a digital degree.
Did that pain you as a Yale alumni?
It's always sad to see, you know, someone go so wrong. I actually have my PhD in extra vote mechanics. Mm-hmm. It's a type of physics. So my steal a vote with, you know, would have let me keep the vote that I stole, assuming that it was valid, on any further revotes. Now, like you say, we saw Shan's vote play in the revote, but I think maybe it did play. I'm sorry. We saw Shan vote. I think maybe Shan's vote did play in the revote because Jeff read three Nasir's.
And so, in the closing credits, we did not see the revote. So we don't know if Shan held up two Nasir revotes.
Well, right. I mean, that might have been right. So I thought the fact that Jeff read three votes was a sign that four votes were cast, right? So the only people voting in that vote were Ricard, were Shan,
and Erica. Yeah.
And so if there were only three votes cast, then Jeff would have only had to read two votes to say Nasir has been eliminated. Because Jeff read three votes, I think that means the extra vote was out. So I can.
That's
only,
interesting. Like, that's a very good point.
I can only definitively speak for my my steal a vote. I saw people discussing it on Twitter, and I actually I'm not, you know, this was some of the positing that I saw. It's not totally original to me, but like, so my steal a vote was definitely, I could reuse it. I've always wondered that about extra vote, but I think based on this, like this Nasir theory of extra votes, I think that the extra vote plays through.
Okay. So, Christian Hubicki, who must be watching the show live, texts me to respond to you to say, well, this would mean that Xander's extra vote would guarantee that Liana goes home, or Deshaun and Danny would draw rocks by themselves.
Wow, so, interesting. So that is a very interesting. You want to explain that? You know, talk that through, Rob.
Okay, so it was a 3-2 vote. So if Xander puts two votes here on Liana, so that would force it to a 3-3 tie. He gets to vote on the revote. So it was Xander's two votes up against the Danny and Deshaun. So on the revote, and so I guess they could, and then Xander's immune, so he wouldn't have to go to a rock draw, and so Danny and Deshaun, I guess, would have to either like throw Liana under the bus or draw rocks.
That would have been such a power move. That's such a great idea. That's wow. That actually is a real loss. That's a real loss that he didn't do that.
So
wow, that's wild.
Yeah, I guess in that case, I mean, good on Deshaun for bluffing. To the point where that Xander felt confident enough to not play either of his advantages.
Yeah. That's interesting. I hope, you know, whenever you speak with Xander, you ask him that question, if he had considered using that extra vote in this vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get, close to the subject with Evie tomorrow. So, we'll see if that conversation was had. And of course you can check out, Christian and the entire cast of Survivor David vs. Goliath now on Netflix.
Wow.
Okay. Steven, what does Sam Rawson have to say?
All right, Sam Rawson wants to know, has there ever been a player so fixated on getting one player out as Liana wanting to get Xander out I feel like I know where this question is going. Only one I can think of is, I can't read the rest. Never mind.
Yeah.
Steven wanting to get Joey amazing out. I wasn't that fixated on Joe. That was a storyline. And I'm sure, you know,
how'd you feel about his face?
I mean, I loved it. He's got a beautiful face. Yeah. You know, I didn't have that same problem with like seeing his face everywhere. I loved to see his face wherever I saw it.
So it has been a big storyline in the season. I'm sure there have been plenty of other players that, I mean, you're forgetting there have been many
yeah, what about, Courtney and Jean Robert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jane and Marty, you know, there's many rivalries where
Sandra
people,
and Russell Hantz,
you know, and the game can get the best. I'm sure as you can attest, you know, like in the heat of the moment, you get really fixated on a person. You get frustrated when you, can't get them out, and people aren't listening to you. And it's been, you know, like Liana's main storyline of the season.
Yeah, it has, which you wonder, like, I mean, does that mean Liana is ultimately responsible for voting on Xander, or which people speculated about me with Joe, or like me, will, you know, she be destroyed by this singular obsession?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. We'll see. Xander still in the game with an idol and an extra vote somehow at this point. Okay. Charnel says, do you think that Erica intentionally dropped in the challenge? She surely looked like she could go longer. Maybe she didn't want her group to eat. That seems a little far-fetched to me to think that Erica would not want her group. She would want to be punishing her group. And, not
herself.
And herself.
Herself
to not have the beef stew. I know that Erica had tweeted out this week about how I think she had gotten sick after eating the grilled cheese. So I suspect it was more just like that was as far as she can go, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to spite these other people before we have a vote where I may well or where people, you know, I need people to work with me.
Yeah, yeah.
She couldn't get voted out. She had immunity, but she certainly was somebody who could have really used some help bettering her position in the game.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was probably not deliberate.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think so. How about this question from Lainey?
All right, Lainey wants to know, do you see Xander emerging as a competition beast/idol, finding master, and having a Ben-style victory? Or are his days ultimately numbered now, with his last remaining ally leaving the game? Sorry, I read that in a really confusing way. So if no one could understand exactly what I was saying, the question is asking, is Xander going to be a big idol finding beast and immunity winning beast like Ben, or is he going to get voted out?
Yeah. Is that those are the only two options, I guess? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does seem like he's going to be like target number one. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know. I really feel like this season is like, Deshaun versus Shan, you know, like, and I, well, that's the conflict I want to see in the final tribal. I want to see the Deshaun versus Shan blow up. I mean, Deshaun, Shan, Xander would be a very fun final tribal council. I don't think Xander's going to make it all the way there.
Are enough people worried about Xander?
Which weird, right? Like
Liana is like, Xander, that I'm telling you, this is it. Everybody's like, no.
But this is exactly my issue with Joey Amazing. Like, this guy winning the immunities. He's got the idols. He's like finding things in the bushes, and everyone else is like, it's fine. No one's worried about him. Like, he's got like, you know, very, you know, he's got this sort of a classic, you know, whatever. Maybe people feel about Xander like everyone else on my tribe seemed to feel about Joe, which was like, we'll get him eventually. You know, we all see Joe.
Right.
You know, but the
difference is, though, you know, you were worried about, you know, Joe at the point where, you know, you're heading into the merge and there's 13 and there's 12. Well, now there's 8. Now there's 8 people in the game. Like Joe, I believe Joe got voted out at 8 in Survivor Second Chance. So now here's Xander with an idol and an extra vote still in the game, and it's 8. And you're 4 votes away from fire making.
Yeah.
So you know, you gotta worry about him sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, that was my point about Nasiri. And you know, you sort of poo-pooed it. Now you're like, oh, big on that. You gotta worry about these people now.
I'm more worried about Xander than Nasiri.
Take out the threats. You got 4 votes left. You gotta get rid of the threats.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to keep the people that want to work with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How about Chi-Chi from Toronto? Why is everybody hoarding their advantages? When is the right time to play one?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be another advantage getting, probably. I mean, if it's final six is the right time,
think
that's
so?
Just around the corner.
I mean, I don't think that we can have an advantage. I thought tonight there was a possibility of an advantage getting, hypothetically, if you have Erica immune and then you have, Shan and Nasir both play their idols and, you know, Ricard hits the shot in the dark or something like that. You could have had an advantage getting tonight, but I don't think that we have enough immunity objects in the game to have an advantage getting. Unless a legacy advantage comes up at some point or something
shots
like that.
Shots in the dark,
you know. I still don't even think we don't know the last night you could play your shot in the dark. You'd have to have two people play their idols and two people hit the shot in the dark and an immunity, that would make 5 out of 6 people immune, but I don't see that happening in this season.
Okay. I agree.
All right, Steven, how about this question from Kells?
Kells wants to know, how was Danny's name not come up at all? He's a physical threat and consistently been on the right side of the numbers. Are we not seeing that he isn't well liked among the tribe and not considered a jury threat? It is interesting. Danny's never, but you know, he also is in the, well, first of all, for most of the game, he was immune, right? Because his tribe kept winning.
Yep.
Since then, he's been in that, dominant alliance. And he's been, not one of the most dramatic members of that, right? He's not one who's causing a lot of waves. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, we sort of speculated about this a little bit in the past, or I sort of raised this question, maybe someone like Danny, who seems to be a little bit more laid back strategically, obviously an extremely fit guy, but maybe being this extremely fit guy is no longer considered the big threat. And maybe now being the super strategic person is the bigger danger in the merge.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly it. I just feel that people don't look at him as a resume guy. I think that he's a solid guy. He's a competitor. He provided around the camp. But I feel that when it comes time to, that final tribal council and it's but Danny, what did you do?
Right.
I feel I didn't that really wasn't my thing. And I kind of feel that he's less of a threat because of that.
And he's not going to turn on you. He seems to have good relations, right? He seems to have good relationships with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think, nobody is worried that he's going to target them and vote them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Rodney. Why do people think Shan is hard to work with? That's 2 votes in a row where she's gone against her stated plan. I mean, that's hard to say why people think that she's hard to work with. But I do think that she responds to some of the and I feel like that Ricard did this tonight also. But I feel like that she goes from 0 to 60, I think, very quickly in a conversation. And that's just how some people are, that I feel like that the First Lady of Podcasting definitely has that as well. Other people are going to be a little bit more of okay, well, let's just talk this through. So it's, 19 days into a, hard season of Survivor too.
Yeah. I mean, I really do think it's just a tone thing. I think Shan is someone, and I'm a little bit like this, just argues very vigorously for her points and then is willing to, go back when someone else pushes back, and I think maybe for some people don't like that. They want everyone to be, somewhat more reserved and maybe less passionate about their arguments. For mm-hmm. some, that passion and that forceful personality ends up being seems aggressive to them. And, I think that's especially a challenge in a game with, where the stakes are as high as Survivor, where the pressure is as intense, and where, your personal resources because of, lack of food and lack of sleep are at their most depleted. And to me, I see Shan, arguing vigorously for Erica and then saying, okay, forget it. We'll do what you want, And that to me, seems very relatable, I'm going to make my case. I'm going to make it as passionately as I can. And then now you make your case and you make it as passionately. But I think that for someone like Ricard or Deshaun, it seems like they don't like that style of communication.
Mm-hmm. Steven, where do we go from here? We have all four members of the Black Alliance. They made it through the gauntlet here tonight. And so I feel like that they're in a great position if they can get back on the same page. But, you know, we have now Shan and Rickard maybe back working together well. I think it's really going to come down to, you know, if Rickard is able to drive that wedge or help like really open that rift between Shan and Deshaun, I think that that's going to really determine like how things end up going down the stretch.
Yeah. This Shan Deshaun conflict, I think, has to blow open, you know, sooner rather than later. Like you said, like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And you know, it's time for that. It looks like that fire is about to, I mean, again, like, I think it would be really cool if that sort of persisted until the final tribal. And that would be a really fun final tribal to see, you know, these two great strategic players, both who are, you know, very capable of vigorously arguing their case. It would be so fun. Because, but I don't think it's going to make it that long. Right? It looks like the tension is going to boil over before that.
Yeah, I think the logical move would be, you know, because of the way that the votes ended up going, where we saw, and again, we'll see if Heather and Erica were annoyed with, like, getting, like, enough votes. It wasn't just, like, a straight shot at getting Nasir. But assuming that they have, like, a good, like, working relationship with Rickard and potentially Shan, that at eight, I think you have enough votes to flush the idol, although you need a second person to put the votes on there. So for Erica and Heather, I don't know if they'll be super thrilled with potentially being part of that vote split.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's like finding that person, right? Like, if you're Heather, are you going to let them all put their name on you, put votes on you again as a way of just if you're Heather, what does Heather, you know, if she makes it past eight, what is her seventh strategy? You know, that's the question for someone like Heather. But, you know, a lot of people just exist day to day in Survivor. They think, if I can get past this next vote, then I'll worry about the next one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it might have been potentially easier coming into this week, where if Deshaun ended up letting Liana go, and you come into this now the final eight with Xander and Evie at the bottom, you know, you could potentially do the, you know, a 3-3 vote split on Xander. He still can play his extra vote and get it to 3-3-3, but then you could still vote out Evie or Xander on the revote there. This is, I think, a little bit more complicated when it's a potential 7-1.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That is interesting. But, like, there's clearly animosity, right? Like, there's this Erica, you know, Erica has been a thorn in the side of various people. It's, you know, everyone's always talking about getting rid of Erica for whatever reason. So,
yeah.
Obviously Xander's safe. You know, my guess is he has to play his idol. He's safe. And then Erica goes home, right? That would be the sensible thing. But that's like if everyone, you know, stays strong. But if not, if there is an alliance blow up, who do you think is the person who ends up losing out there?
Well, I guess where's the fracture? I mean, we saw I know some people don't like it when we talk about the previews, but it feels like that Shan is talking about Deshaun. I would be surprised if it ends up like coming to that at this point in the game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Next Wednesday night, we will talk about it. But before we get there, Steven, tomorrow, double exit interview.
Well,
Nasir and Evie and even Jordan Kalish, he's back. We will talk to all of them for this week's Survivor Exit interview. Make sure you're subscribed for that. And then Sophie Clark will be my guest on Thursday. New mom, Sophie. We will talk about everything that she saw here in this week's episode recap. And then we'll get to the feedback show. It's always fun when Hannah Shapiro stops by to answer your voicemail questions on the Week 9 Survivor Feedback Show. Get your voicemails in for Hannah. And on Monday night, I will talk with Asia Welch on the Survivor 41 Q&A show with the patrons of Robin's Podcast. Go to robinswebsite.com/patron to make sure you don't miss the invite for that one this Monday night. Steven, check out why blank lost. It'll be a double dose. Find out why Nasir lost, why Evie lost, with David Bloomberg, Jessica Lewis. They do it every week. They go through the rules. They tell you what they did wrong, and then the person who got voted out can listen and say, that's what I should have done. It was right there. It was right there. It was right there the whole time. Then check out on the Survivor B&B. It's always funny when Mike and Liana get together to play some games this week. They will be talking with Allie Gertz, formerly of Mad Magazine, I believe. It should be a very funny episode of the Survivor B&B with Mike and Liana. And then, do you know Jacques?
Of course. Do I know Jacques? Jacques was one of my great allies and great friends from the sequester.
Yes, Survivor South Africa.
I love Jacques. He's a great guy.
He listens to the podcast.
I don't know Allie, but I've corresponded a little with her because she posted a picture of herself and as a child dressed up as Groucho Marx, which, you know, I too dressed up as Groucho Marx as a child. So anyway, back to Jacques.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Who knew?
Yeah.
Check him out on Survivor Global this week with the great Shannon Gus. And then over on the Survivor Stock Watch, the great Frail Mary Kwiatkowski is going to be joining Taryn. They go through all the players in the game, rate their position. They do it live every Thursday afternoon on the Survivor Stock Watch. Then, Stephen, on Nothing But Netflix, I checked out the film Red Notice. Have you checked out this one?
No, I'm excited to. How was it?
You know what? People are being a little hard on Red Notice. I mean, it's really? It's about what you would expect from Ryan Reynolds and The Rock teaming up here in this buddy
That's
action
so fun.
Film. Yeah,
why are people?
Yeah, I think people are like, it wasn't serious. Or check out Red Notice with myself and Chappelle. Talked to special guest Pooja Zambakili on the latest episode of Nothing But Netflix, of course. We had a lot of fun on the Patreon feed this week, including Bryce Isaiah stopped by. We did a Q&A last night with Bryce Isaiah. You can check out that and everything else going on our Patreon feed at robiswebsite.com/patron. We also drop the feedback show early for the patrons as well. An ad-free edition of the Survivor Feedback Show comes out. robiswebsite.com/patron. Hey, Stephen, it is closing in on that holiday shopping season. For everybody on your list, check out robiswebsite.com/merch, where you can get all sorts of fine Rob Has a Website merch this month, and we'll be doing a little bit of a Black Friday promotion coming up for the patrons coming up next week. robswebsite.com/Amazon as well is a great way to support the show without spending any additional money. Go and use our associate link for amazon.com to help support Rob as a podcast. And Steven, hit that subscribe button to make sure that you don't miss an episode of Rob is a Podcast on our YouTube channel or robiswebsite.com/subscribe. And then check out at Rob is a Podcast on Twitter, at RJP Grams on Instagram, and Rob is a Podcast on TikTok. By the way, in the merch store, lots of different podcasts have different merch, Steven. You know, if you ever have an idea for some Fishback merch.
Yeah, what the heck? Where's the Fishback line?
Think about it. I know there's some YX Lost specific merch.
YX Lost got some, and I didn't think so. This is BS.
Yeah, so check that out.
That is BS.
All at robiswebsite.com/merch. All right, Steven, there you go. So, Steve, what's coming up for you?
There's something. I'm glad you give me the floor here, Rob. There's something I want to talk about. Yeah, I get a lot of crap for all the junk in my background on this Zoom. And I want to say, you know, this is not where I want to, I'm in my in-laws, you know, garage.
Yeah. What do people say? Like, give me an example of this, the message you get. Hey, Steven, why don't you before the podcast?
Yeah. This is like a premiere podcast. You know, we expect a nicer background.
I'm watching this in 1080p.
Yeah, all this trash you have to look at. I don't know. I don't even think it's trash. I think it's, you know, probably really like meaningful objects to my in-laws, the fact that they're keeping it in their garage like this. Mm-hmm. So a fact of my in-laws have very generously allowed my wife and me and our child to stay with them while we've been house hunting, and we will be moving into our new house in Washington in 2 weeks. So your eyes will be freed from the misery of seeing my in-laws stored items in their garage.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
Oh, fish sheet. Oh God, what a tough one. Fish sheet. I guess Ricard. That's probably what you would say. If I was Rob, who would I say?
I would say Ricard. I would definitely say Ricard for the fishy. I don't think anybody else had like a, you know, unequivocal great night all around.
Yeah, I think Ricard.
Also, that I don't want to end the show without also talking about Ricard. Also, there was the great segment talking about Ricard's lack of hearing in one ear. Also, I thought that the show did a really compelling job of illustrating that in that segment. And so I thought that all around, great night for Ricard.
Yeah, I thought that was very moving. And you know, obviously, not being hard of hearing myself, you know, I hope that they ran that past someone, you know, just for like a sensitivity edit to know if that was, you know, really a good way to convey Ricard's experience. But, you know, as someone who does not suffer from that, I found that really like a powerful way of communicating what Ricard's experience on the show is like. I thought that was really, really well done and really moving.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, thank you so much. Once again, we'll be back together the night before Thanksgiving next week.
Wow.
No, is it Thanksgiving? Wow. I don't even know. I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, wow. Hopefully we'll have so much to be thankful for with another great episode of Survivor.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, you know, what would be the least, what's like the worst, be least thankful for? What would be the worst possible?
You know, we don't even need to explore that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's on that note.
Thank you all so much for checking us out. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.